So as Ben said, the reading is coming from Acts 1, verses 1 to 11. I'll give you a second to find it. Okay. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the skies as he was going, when he suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand there looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him go into heaven. Amen.
Thanks, Elna. Well, please leave your Bibles open there if you have them. My name is Simon, as Ben said before, and tonight we're starting a series in Acts. It'll go for 9 weeks, and I'm actually really excited about digging into Acts with you guys. Now, if you're the kind of person who likes an outline, I'm going to chuck one up just for a few minutes. So if you want to write that down in your phone quickly, you can do that. Take a photo of it. Just Rachel's doing that, sorry. I was just being silly. But I'll leave that there for a little bit. Now, if just to kind of buy some time for Rachel, if you haven't got a Bible reading plan at the moment, you're not reading anything in the Bible, can I suggest to you to read Acts? Try and read Acts 1 to 6, just do little bite-sized chunks, read it, reflect on it, and pray. And if you go beyond chapter 6, praise God. But we'll stop at chapter 6, verse 7. Do you guys need any more time? Are you good? Okay, I've got one more story I can share, but I'll wait. Anyway, well, how about we pray that God help us to understand his word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you speak to us in it. Father, please help us to understand your mission. Father, please help us to be on mission. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this weekend, Henry and I have had a little mission of our own, a little travel mission. We flew down to Brisbane yesterday morning and we flew back this morning. We had to be at Noosa Aged Care Facility at 10 a.m. yesterday for my dad's 80th birthday. He's pretty old. He was 41 when I was born. Yep, and I'm 39. So if you put those two together, that equals someone. Help me out. 80, that's right, 80. Anyway, and so we had this mission before us. And I was getting excited about the mission during the week. I was really looking forward to the upcoming adventure. I love those kind of things. But you know what? Sadly, our mission didn't go exactly according to plan. We got to the airport yesterday morning at 5 a.m. At 5:30 a.m., they said that our plane was delayed by 4 hours. Dad's birthday party was starting at 10. We were leaving at 9:30. It wasn't going to work. Anyway, it was a bit sad initially, but you know what? We still got to see my dad and we still got to see my family, even did the dawn service this morning in Koroi, and that was a wonderful, beautiful thing. I love a little mission. It gets me excited. Do you guys love a little mission? Do you love travel missions? Are you longing, like longing with all of your being to travel overseas again? I don't understand that. Why would you leave our great country? But if you do want to do that, praise God. Do you love a fitness mission? maybe like a triathlon or a half Ironman, maybe the Paluma push or a sneaky enduro mountain bike race. Well, you know what, if you're up for it, tomorrow at 7 a.m. I'm going to meet here and go up to Paluma Dam and ride around the dam. Even if you just want to come up and kind of sniff the air, it's kind of cool and crisp up there, you come up with us. But you know, that's an adventure, not a church event, just friends hanging out. Anyway, there's lots of missions happening. Do you love movie missions? Maybe you sit there when it's a rainy day like today and it's kind of cold, you just want to sit down and you watch the deluxe edition of The Lord of the Rings, all 12 hours. Is it 12 hours? Somebody, who's the hardcore people, is it 12 hours? About that, yeah. I like Lord of the Rings, hate Harry Potter. Anyway, maybe you love a road trip mission. Maybe you love getting in the car and driving for a long, long time. You know, I love the excitement of a mission. I love the purpose it brings. I love the adventure. I love the camaraderie with other people. And that's why I love mountain biking. That's right. Anyway, well, tonight, as we begin our journey in Acts, we're going to see that if you are a follower of Jesus, Jesus himself has left us with a mission that should shape our lives. A mission that deserves our full attention. A mission that we should definitely be excited about. Well, please have your Bibles open there at Acts chapter 1. Our first point tonight is the mission. So up to the first point, the mission, and it's the longer point if you're an astute listener. It's about, you know, almost 1.5 times the second point. Anyway, for your listening budget. Righto, let's dig into verses 1 to 3 because they actually give us some really helpful background information. Let me read them to you again. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Well, verse 1 gives away who the human author of Acts is. It's Dr. Luke. And we know that because Luke's gospel starts in a very similar way. And again, he's writing for this person called Theophilus, whose name means something like friend of God. And Luke's writing somewhere around 62 to 64 AD, and he's writing so this guy called Theophilus can be certain of the things he's heard about Jesus. And Luke tells us in his former book, the Gospel of Luke, he wrote about all that Jesus began to do until he was taken up into heaven in the ascension. But as we dig into the book of Acts, we'll see what Jesus continues to do from heaven through his apostles by the Holy Spirit. We'll have to wait for the next couple of weeks before we really see the apostles kind of out there charged by the power of the Spirit, getting out there and sharing the wonderful news of Jesus. But right now, let's dig into the mission that Jesus left with his apostles. And so in verses 4 and 5, we find out that on one occasion, while Jesus was still with his apostles before the ascension, he told them to wait in the city of Jerusalem for the long-awaited Holy Spirit. And in verses 6 and 7, we find out that the apostles are still a little bit confused. They ask Jesus if he's about to restore the kingdom of Israel. Is he going to restore the kingdom of God right now? Now, the apostles don't fully have the Spirit yet, so that kind of explains why they're still a little bit confused. But Jesus responds to them kindly. He says, you know, the kingdom will come. You know what? It's right for the apostles to be talking about the kingdom because back in verse 3, it tells us that Jesus has been spending 40 days with these guys talking about the kingdom of God. But it's not for the apostles to know the times set by the Father. The apostles are to stop worrying about Jesus' return and to get on with their job of bringing in the kingdom. So Jesus goes back to his original point in verse 8. Have a look at verse 8 with me, and 9. It says this, "But you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he had said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. Jesus is saying, hey guys, remember what I was saying. The Holy Spirit, the third member of the Trinity, will come on you with power and will help you to be my witnesses. In fact, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The apostles are to witness to Jesus. They're to talk about his resurrection. They are to bring people into the kingdom, bring people under the kingship of Jesus. And as you dig into the book of Acts, you can see the apostles do indeed do this. And nothing gets in the way of the gospel. Not even trouble or persecution. When it comes across trouble or persecution, the gospel just explodes and goes out further. Now, on our journey in the book of Acts over the next 8 weeks, we'll see the mission begin and we'll see the mission go to the edges of Jerusalem, but we'll have to come back in the coming years to kind of complete our journey in the book of Acts. But we've seen the mission that Jesus has left for his apostles. They are to be witnesses to Jesus everywhere, to the ends of the earth. They are to be on mission for Jesus. They are to bring people into the kingdom. The apostles have a very special role to play as they lay down the foundation of the gospel, as they lay down the foundation of this mission. See, it's their witness and testimony that will help us to be on mission about Jesus. Now, our mission this weekend was to get to my dad's 80th birthday party. But we didn't complete the mission successfully. A Qantas crew member went through the Melbourne airport and they might have had COVID or COVID, but I don't think they did. But you know what? They couldn't kind of manage the flight, and so we had to wait for this other flight person who had just come into Townsville at 10 o'clock that night before, and we had to wait for a certain amount of time before we could fly. So it was delayed by 4 hours. It was kind of excruciating, painful, and I only found out with 5 minutes to go that I had $40 to spend at the kiosk thing. For some light refreshments, so I went to get some drinks. I said, oh, I've kind of got a flight thing. And they're like, oh, you've got $40 to spend. I was like, oh. So we had a couple of drinks, a couple of yogurts, 2 Mars bars, a pack of Chicos or whatever they might be called these days, and some other things. And you know what? I still had $10 to go. I said, you can keep my money. I'm out of here. Anyway, you know, it was a bit howdy-doody, but we made it there. We made it to the Sunshine Coast. Actually missed the party, but I got to see Dad, and that was really special in the afternoon. I don't know what sort of relationship you have with your dad, but make sure you now, if you can, say that you love him. I didn't do that so much as a teenager, but now when I do say it and he says, I love you back, it kind of breaks me as a person, but it's a beautiful thing, and so make sure that you do that with your dad if you can. Anyway, we kind of did that. We had dinner with my brother and sister. We went to the dawn service in Koroi this morning, and then we made it back to the airport in Brisbane, and we flew back and got back to Townsville about 12 p.m., and we're here tonight. And it was a successfully completed mission, although we missed the birthday party, the sole reason we were going. Anyway, but it was kind of a successful mission. We still got to see people. Anyway, the apostles successfully complete their mission of laying down the foundation for the gospel mission. And you can see that as you kind of work through Acts. Now, while Jesus' commands are initially for the apostles, and they do have a particular special role to play, and we'll see it as we work through Acts, but the command of spreading the gospel, it definitely applies to us as well. If you're a Christian, how are you going at being on mission for Jesus? How are you going at being a witness to Jesus' resurrection? How are you going at being on mission in all that you do, in everywhere that you go? How are you helping the gospel to go to the ends of the earth? If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, maybe you've come along tonight under your own steam. Praise God for that. Or maybe you've been invited along by a friend. Praise God for that also. If you've been invited along by a friend, I want to let you know that your friend has invited you because they love and care for you. They don't have some kind of quota to fill. They don't get a bigger house in heaven for inviting you along. Jesus has just revealed to them through his word that one day he's going to come back and one day he's going to judge the world, and they want you to believe in Jesus before that happens. Now, it's really easy to forget where this world is heading and what we're meant to do as we wait for Jesus to return. But a part of the Bible that helps me to remember this really well is 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 to 10. Have a listen to what the Apostle Peter says. I'll put it on the screen. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness, and said he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, the heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. These verses help us to know that the only reason Jesus hasn't come back yet is because he wants more people to trust in him. But one day he will come back, like a thief in the night, and no one will know when. Just like Jesus said to the apostles, no one knows the time of his return. So if you're not a Christian, can I encourage you to keep looking into Jesus? It's the best thing that you can do. It's a life-changing thing. And if you're up for it, can I encourage you to do a course called Christianity Explored? It starts on the 10th of May. It'll help you to get who Jesus is. It'll help you to get what Jesus has done and what Jesus is calling you to do. It's a great course. Can I commend it to you? But if you do believe in Jesus, do you realise that the only reason that Jesus hasn't returned yet is because he wants more people to trust in him? The only reason that the sun comes up every day, or more correctly, the only reason why the earth keeps rotating as we spin around the sun, the only reason that happens is because Jesus wants more people to trust in him. But you and I both know that it's very easy to get distracted from our mission. There are so many things in this life that take our eyes off Jesus and his mission. Which brings us to our second point, and it's a much shorter point for those who are kind of paying attention that way. It's called the distractions. Now, we've seen that Jesus has told his apostles to wait in Jerusalem until they receive the Spirit so they can start their mission with power. Well, let's have a look at how the apostles go as Jesus is taken up into heaven. We'll have a look at verses 10 and 11 with me. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. See, instead of the apostles making haste for Jerusalem, just kind of bolting for Jerusalem, to wait for the Spirit so they can start their mission, they get distracted. They kind of stare into the sky as Jesus kind of goes up into heaven. Now, it was probably a pretty marvellous sight. I'm sure there was clouds and maybe some lights and stuff. And maybe they were thinking, you know what? Maybe Jesus is going to go through the cloud and then come back straight away. Maybe that's what they were thinking. But the response of the two men dressed in white, most likely angels, shows that the apostles are distracted. They're not doing what they're meant to. They've forgotten their mission. And so these two men say to them, why are you kind of standing here looking into the sky? Jesus will come back the same way he left. He will come back to judge the world. So don't stand here looking into the sky. Get on with your mission. Go to Jerusalem and wait for the Spirit. The apostles, for some reason, are distracted by Jesus' ascension. By the clouds, or the lights. I wonder what distracts you from getting on with Jesus' mission. Well, when I worked out that Henry and I would be going to my dad's birthday party this weekend, Just so you know, I do have a wife, married to a lady called Deb. She's lovely. Have three other children as well, but they're down south visiting the other grandparents, who I don't visit. No, I'm just joking about that. I love them. They're very generous to us, so I love them a lot. She's visiting them because we haven't seen them for about a year and a half, and so they're just getting sad with the COVID thing, and so she's gone down to see them. But she gets back on Tuesday. Me and Henry have survived pretty well. Only one KFC. Which was like an earned reward for us, really. Anyway, what else just me and Henry thinking about going down to the Sunshine Coast? I was thinking, you know what? When we go down, we can do something fun. Maybe we can go for a mountain bike ride. That's right. Maybe go for a mountain bike ride or something like that. And I'd heard from Ben and Susie, our very own Ben and Susie, that there's a great e-bike tour just across the road from my old man's retirement village. I was thinking, maybe this could work. The party's at 10 a.m., the tour started at 2 p.m. That works, right? And old people, party will be over in an hour, they'll be asleep, and then we'll be able to move on to the mountain biking. But then I thought about it for a bit, and I realised that that was a distraction. That wasn't the reason I was going down to the Sunshine Coast. I was going down to see my dad and to see my mum and to love and care for them. So the e-bike tour, it was a distraction from the mission. And Ben told me that, you know, maybe when I go on holidays, I can go and do the e-bike tour. And I can report back as to how that was. I think Ben and Susie loved it, and I think Ben's got a bit of a bromance with the guy. Is that's what Susie said anyway. But the e-bike, Anyway, the e-bike thing, it was a distraction from our mission. Well, are you distracted from the mission? Have you missed the point of life if you're a Christian? I know that I get super distracted by the comforts of this world and by trying to make my own life comfortable by not talking about Jesus as I should. I need to keep reminding myself that we are on mission until Jesus returns. Our tour of duty does not stop when we have kids or when we get a full-time job or when we retire or when we get a boyfriend or a girlfriend, or when we get married, or even while we're doing year 12, or even while we're doing university. Our mission, our tour ends when we personally see Jesus face to face, when we die, or when he returns. And so I guess the question that this passage raises for all of us, and it's something that we're all going to have to answer individually, because we all have different capacities and circumstances. But are you on mission for Jesus? Or are you distracted by this life? Maybe you're distracted by the bright and shiny things. Have you forgotten that the mission is not about this life? It's actually about the life to come. Now, I have a friend that I kind of used to live with in a share house. He was always great at being on mission. And in his room, he had a sign above the door, and the sign said, "You are now entering the mission field." Now, I'm a little bit cynical, so I found that kind of cheesy. But you know what? It worked for him. Every time he would leave his room, he would be on mission. And he's the kind of guy that is always on mission. He's the kind of guy that makes Christians feel uncomfortable because he's always on about Jesus. Well, can I encourage you this week to take some time, to kind of take some time out and to think about the direction of your life? Are you setting yourself up for a life of mission, or are you setting yourself up for a life of distractions? Spend some time thinking this through and try and answer these questions honestly for yourself. And maybe share your answers in your Bible study group or with some close Christian friends. Friends, Jesus has left us with a mission to be witnesses to him to the ends of the earth. And that is the only reason why this world still exists. It's the only reason why Jesus hasn't come back yet. But one day he will come back. And when he comes back, it'll be too late for your neighbour, it'll be too late for your friend, it'll be too late for your parent or your sibling. It'll be too late for your friends. It'll be too late for your workmates. When we get our heads around where it's all headed, we when we get our heads around the mission, and when we do it together as God wants us to, I actually think this mission that we're a part of is a really cool mission. A mission that gives us purpose, a reason to get up every morning with a joy in our step. A mission that we should all be excited about, rather than kind of dreading. A mission that means that we can help people to go from death to life, from a broken relationship with their Creator to a restored relationship with their Creator, where they get to spend forever with Him in perfection, forever and ever and ever and ever. Friends, we have a mission to do. Let's pray that we won't get distracted, and let's pray that we'll be excited about this mission together as we get to tell people about the wonderful news of Jesus. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much that you speak to us in it. Father, we pray that you'd help us to remember the mission we have, to be witnesses to the risen Jesus. Father, help us to know that the only reason Jesus hasn't come back yet is because you want more people to trust in you. Father, help that to shape our life. Father, help us to be on about mission in all of life. Father, help us not to be distracted. Father, please help us to share with one another when we are distracted. And Father, help us to point each other to the mission that we have. And Father, we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.